All right. Good to see you. Hope you are having a great holiday weekend. And I want to say, before I get going, a big thank you to our leaders, our shepherds, our elders, who have given me the last few years about three quarters of the summer off. And if there was ever a summer where I needed it, I think it was this summer. Just a lot of life stuff and family stuff and a little bit of health stuff. And our elders are just so good to me and so generous. And I just want to thank them. I want to thank our staff. Well, most of the time I've been gone, they've been doing most of the heavy lifting. And they're not perfect, but they're really, really good. I love our staff. And I want to thank Brent for preaching and Mike Osborne and Scott McNeil. They did a great job. And we had other guests from out of town. And my son Zach preached last week. Saturday night, I was sitting on the front row next to my dad listening to my son preach. And it was very emotional. I mean, I couldn't keep from crying. I was just one of those deals. And it's been a wonderful summer. And God has blessed our church during this time. And we've been in this series called Greatest Hits. And preachers have come in from all over the country and from our own little fold here. And they've been preaching on great songs. But the thing that surprises me is not one of them ever used a Beatles song. Do they not know what music really is? Have they not studied the history of notes? Do they not get it? I decided I'm going to preach the last sermon of this series. That wasn't the plan. But because nobody used a Beatles song, I said, I've got to step in here. I've got to fix this thing. I've got to help our people understand what music is. I mean, the Beatles, they were geniuses. The lyrics were unbelievable. She loves you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who could come up with that? They're unbelievable. The truth is, I love gospel music more than I love the Beatles. If you looked on my iPhone, you would see that most of my music is gospel quartet and trio and the Heritage Singers and things like that. Don't laugh. I do have some Beatles. I like most of their stuff, especially the early stuff. But my brother Dean is the one that got me going on the Beatles and Elvis. He's about 5.5 years older than me. And he just loved them and had all the albums, and so he listened to them, and that's all I had to listen to. And so I kind of became a fan of the Beatles when I was a little kid. And when we moved here, 1995, our kids were little, I think like 5 and 3, and we decided we'd send out a Christmas card. And after a few years, they seemed kind of boring, and nobody really cared about it. So I decided we'd do something different, and we decided to make our Christmas cards look like Beatles albums. And some of you know this, and some of you are brand new and don't know any of this. This was our first one right here. That's our family over there on the right. We put candy canes on the telephone poles there, and we made it a night picture. And then the next one, we have about 10 of these. We did this one. And that's Dad's bus down there in the green thing down there. I don't know if you can see that. The next one, we did this one. This just gets weirder and weirder as the years go on. The next one, we did this. I think that's, kids are getting older. They're starting to hate these. The next one, this is the one my wife wanted to kill me. And this one, she said, this has got to stop. I said, no, it's not. It's only 2010. We're just getting started. And then the next one, we did that out backyard here. Okay, the next one. We got a couple more. That's my favorite, I think, of all of them right there. I think because my wrinkles are really prominent. Okay, the next one. We did that one. Is there any more? Do we have another one? Oh, yeah, we did this one. Oh, there's one more, too. This is the one Drew hates because I made him get in that suitcase. He's been bitter about that for years. And we did that one. There was a picture on the inside of that. So, some say they're the most popular band in history. And so they're going to sing a song. But before they do, I want to do a little trivia with you. And you can write these answers down on your notes on the backside or on a neighbor's forehead. I don't care where you write it. But you can yell out the answers if you want. Here's a little trivia. In what city did the Beatles grow up? Anybody know? Liverpool. By the way, last night's crowd knew all the answers. They were unbelievable. Question number 2. What year did the Beatles first appear on the Ed Sullivan Show? Anybody know that year? 63 is wrong. 64 is correct. I was born in 64, and my mom sat me down. We watched the whole thing together, I believe. What was the Beatles' number one, their first number one hit in America?
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
That's genius. I think you were here last night. I'm not sure. How many number one songs did the Beatles record? How many number one hits did the Beatles... Nobody, no preacher in America wants to use a Beatles hit, okay? But how many number one hits did they have?
27.
You were also here last night, I believe. That can't be right. Nobody can know that, right? That's also the amount of World Series championships the Yankees have, just for the record. I don't throw that out there. The Dodgers and the Giants have a combined 10, I think, 12, something like that. I'm not trying to be mean. 27's a great number. 28's coming soon, by the way. Okay. On their appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show, what song did they sing that they didn't write? It's very unusual for them to sing a song they didn't write. There were several of them, but they sang a song they didn't write on the Ed Sullivan Show. Does anybody know that song? Nope. Not the first one. Till There Was You. It came from some sort of a musical for the Music Man. Remember that one? No? Okay. Look it up. We have this thing called YouTube. It's very exciting. How much did a front row seat, a ticket on the front row to their first concert in America cost? How much cash? Wrong. $4. $4. Somebody guessed 5. That was really close. Last night, somebody guessed 20. Okay, it's number 7. The 3 of the Beatles had brown eyes. One of them had blue eyes. Who had blue eyes?
John?
Nope. Ringo. Ringo, back in the back. You never saw him with his blue pretty eyes. And very large nose. Sorry. That wasn't not. I apologize. Okay, what was their nickname? They went by a nickname. Besides the Beatles, they were called the what? The Fab Four, very good. In what year did the Beatles break up? 68? Nope. 69? Nope. 72? Nope. 70. 1970, they broke up. What are the ages of the two living Beatles? Two are gone. Two are still alive. Ringo, brace yourself, is 79 years old. And Paul is 77 years of age. I want to give you just a couple minutes of background to a song called Let It Be. The Beatles went into a studio to record an album called The White Album. It was actually supposed to be called The Beatles Album, but it had a white cover, and so it became known all over the world as The White Album. And there was a lot of tension in the group. They were doing some drugs, most likely. People say they were in the psychedelic phase. They weren't getting along. Ringo had quit and walked off and come back. There was this constant presence of this woman in the studio. Her name was Yoko Ono. I'm not good with that language. And she loved John Lennon, you know, but the rest of them didn't really like her that much. It was an unspoken rule that she broke. It added another layer of tension. Very stressful time. They recorded 30 songs on the White Album. Not one of them ever came close to being a number one hit. The days were numbered. They were on their way out. They were going to break up. The day was just didn't know when. And Paul McCartney was so frustrated, and everybody knew they were going to break apart. And Paul began to write this song called Let It Be. And years later, many years later, he sat down and he gave an interview, and it was recorded in a magazine. And I want to read to you just a few paragraphs of this article because to me it's pretty fascinating. He says, "One night, somewhere between deep sleep and insomnia, I had the most comforting dream about my mother, who died when I was only 14. She'd been a nurse. My mom, a very hardworking, because she wanted the best for us. We weren't a well-off family. We didn't have a car. Both my parents went out to work. Mom contributed to a good half of the family income. At night, when she came home, she would cook. We didn't have a lot of time with each other, and she was just a very comforting presence in my life. And when she died, one of the difficulties I had as the years went by, I couldn't picture her face. I couldn't recall it. And that's how it is, I think, for everyone. As the days go by, you just can't bring their face into your mind. You have to use photographs and things like that. He continues, "So in this dream, my mother appeared, and there was her face, completely clear, particularly her eyes. And she said to me, very gently, very reassuringly, 'Let it be.' It was lovely. I woke up with a great feeling. It was really like she had visited me at this very difficult point in my life. And this message she gave, 'Be gentle. Don't fight things. Just try to go with the flow. It'll all work out.' He said, not very long after the dream, I got together with this woman named Linda. And by the way, they were married for 30 years before she died. He said, Linda was the saving of me. And it was as if my mom had sent her, you could say. These days, the song has become almost like a hymn. We sang it at Linda's memorial service. After September 11th, the radio played it a lot, and it made it an obvious choice for me to sing it at a benefit concert in New York City. Even before September 11th, people used to lean out of cars and trucks and yell, 'Yo, Paul, let it be.' He said, these words are very special to me, not only because my mom came to me in a dream and reassured me at the most difficult time of my life, but that we recorded it together with the others, the Beatles. It became a comforting, healing statement for other people as well." And I want our wonderful band to sing this for you, and I got some more to say.
Myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Let it be, whisper words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be. Let it be.
Give it up for them. Are they unbelievable? Paul said that song to him almost became like a hymn. And that's interesting because you may not know this, but the Beatles actually, when they were little, they were connected to a church. John and Ringo were baptized into the Anglican church as infants. Paul and George were christened in the Catholic church. So when they were young, they spent a lot of time in the church. That's amazing to me. Now, they didn't, as they grow up, they did not decide to be Christ followers. There's never any claim that they were truly that. And even though as they grew, their music evolved and they had a lot of lyrics about seeking the best answer and wisdom and truth and all of that, even in this hit, they talk about, there will be an answer. There will be an answer. Let it be. Let it be. Well, friend, there is an answer, and we know who the answer is. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And those three little words, let it be, are the exact words that another mother, another lady named Mary, actually said those words. I want to kind of recap the story, and then we'll break down the points. There was an angel named Gabriel who came to this young girl, very young girl named Mary, and he told her some news that was absolutely shocking. And by the way, she was petrified, as most people in the Bible are when they see an angel. We think when you see an angel, it's going to be a little flowery thing, and it's so exciting. No, they're petrified. And the angel says, do not be afraid. I've got some news for you. You do? Yes. Where's it coming from? It's coming from God. Here's this little girl. She's scared. Here's this angel. And the angel says to her, God's got a grand plan for your life. Mary, you are highly favored among women. Mary, I got some news for you, and it's going to be kind of shocking, but God's going to allow you to become pregnant and give birth to a little baby, and this baby is not going to be like other babies. This baby is going to be something spectacular. He's going to be the Son of God, and his kingdom is never going to end. You're going to give birth to this baby. And she was, you can imagine, frightened and confused and baffled, and she didn't gripe about it or anything else. She simply asked this question, how can this happen? What was she saying? She was saying, hey, Gabe, I've got some news for you. I can't really have a baby because I've never been with a man, ever. How's this going to happen? That was her own question. And Gabe said, hey, listen, it's not a problem for God, because with God, you should underline these words and write them down in your heart. Nothing is impossible with God. The angel said, the Spirit is going to come upon you and overshadow you, and you're going to have a baby, and this baby is going to be the Savior of the world. The angel was saying, Mary, God's got this grand plan for your life. What do you think about it? And in a spirit of obedience and humility, Mary said these words. Listen to what she said. She said, let it be. Let it be to me as you have said. Let it be done to me according to your word. And she was basically saying, Father, I know what your will is for my life. I know what you want for me. I may not understand it. I may not totally grasp it. But if this is what you want, Father, this is what I want as well. And I just think it's a beautiful, one of the most beautiful pictures in all of the Bible. And I want to use that as a springboard into our notes, into our real message today, because I believe in that conversation between Gabriel and Mary, there are three powerful forces that are actually applied to us and in our lives if we are saved, born again Christians. These three exact elements have to happen in our lives. The same thing that happened to Mary and Gabriel have to happen to us if we're going to be Christ followers. So if you have your notes, write this down. I'm going to try to be as quick as I can. The number one thing is the Word of God. You cannot become a Christian without the Word of God. The angel was telling Mary something that came from God. It was the Word of God that Mary had to receive. She had to listen to it. She had to digest it. She had to try to make sense of it in any way she could. God was saying to her through the angel, I found favor with you. You're going to conceive. You're going to give birth. We're going to call him Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the world. You're going to bear this child. I mean, Mary's probably like, what? And I know some of you are probably along the same lines. Some of you are probably thinking, you know what, preacher? That to me, I'd rather have an encounter with an angel. That would be really, really exciting. You know, the Bible teaches us in several places, especially in the book of Hebrews, you actually have something better than an angel. You have something more sure and more reliable than an angel. You say, what in the world is that? It is the Word of God. This has been proven and verified in so many different ways. This is God's Word for you. God is trying to say something to you today. God's trying to say something to you every day, by the way. The real issue is, are you listening? Are you in there? Are you interested in His will for your life? People all the time, I wish God would reveal Himself and say something. He's trying to. We put our blinders on. We'd rather be on Twitter 2 or 3 hours a day than 15 minutes in the Word of God. It's all right here. He's got a plan for your life. He's got some big stuff for you if you'd get in there. All of these promises are for you. If I walked in here today and I said, God, I need you to speak to me. I need you to communicate to me. I need to hear from you today. All I'd have to do is make a reference to a verse or two. What if I pointed to you the classic verse of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. By the way, it's in your notes, and I left some blanks there. You can write your name in there. You don't think God's trying to talk to you? Brace yourself. For God so loved, nobody pass out, David, that he gave his one and only son. That whoever believes, that if, even if David believes in him, David should not perish. David's going to have everlasting life. I'm telling you, all of these words, all of these promises are for you. God's trying to speak to you. I'm telling you, He's got a word for you, and it's a lot better than an angel. And for just from that one verse, just that one verse, if your eyes are open and your ears are open and your spirit's right, you're going to hear what He's trying to say. And just in this one verse, He's trying to tell you, hey, you know what? I know you. And I love you. You're not perfect. You're a sinner. But I still love you. I want you to have an abundant life for sure. But what I really want you to have after you die, I want you to spend All of eternity, endless, there is no time, all of eternity with me. That's just from one little verse. Are you listening? I'm just telling you, you can't get to Christ, you can't get to heaven, you can't be saved without the Word of God. Number two, you can't get there without the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is the key to all of this. When God told this story to Mary through Gabriel, she asked the right question. She didn't say, oh, you know, like most 15-year-olds, why are you picking on me? She said, how is this going to happen? It's a pretty good question. And Gabriel said to her, in essence, I'm summing it up, by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to overcome you. It's going to overshadow you. It's a spiritual thing. It's about to happen. I'm not doing anything. It is the work of the Spirit. And I'm here to tell you today, that's how you get to heaven, through the Word of God and by the work of the Spirit. I have a good friend of mine who recently left the church. It's discouraging to me. I hate to even bring it up. When you're here 20-some years, you endure a lot of things that aren't always positive. And stuff happens every week. People get upset and people get, you know, negative. And it's just a challenge to keep coming up here and trying to be upbeat and positive and acting like none of the negative stuff ever happens. My nature, I hate to say it, but I tend to focus on the losses more than I do the victories. And when this friend left, I was so discouraged. He's one of the reasons I came to Fresno. And I called him on the phone and asked him about it. And he was kind and just said, you know, we're going through a spiritual battle, our family. And I wanted to push back. I wanted to say, we're all in a spiritual battle. I mean, you're going to be in a spiritual battle if you go to that church or this church. Leaving this church isn't going to help. And I understand he's facing a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. There's a lot of stuff going on he has no control over. And I also remember that he said to one of his friends who told me later that one of the reasons they left was not only because of the hurt and the pain they were going through, but because we don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough here at this church. And that kind of got me. And I thought, well, A, that's just not true. That's not correct. I've done plenty on the Holy Spirit. But the reality is, and this was a PhD from Harvard or a sixth grader, the number one rule about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Jesus is God in the flesh. You understand the metaphor of the Father and the Son? There's not a dad with a son on his knee rocking him, okay? God is a spirit. Jesus is God in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit is Jesus' spirit that comes down. He said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you my helper. I'm going to send you me in spirit form. We talk about the Holy Spirit every single weekend. We get up here, we open the Bible, and we talk about Jesus. That is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who's helping us. It is His Word. And it is His Spirit that gets us into heaven. Whatever pain you're going through, whatever you're facing, I want to make it very, very clear. You cannot cross over. You cannot get there unless the Holy Spirit comes into your life and does a supernatural work. Yeah, we could talk for a long time about the Holy Spirit and the Trinity and all of that. But I'm telling you, it is really the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Titus 3 says this, it is not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us, listen carefully, by the washing of rebirth by the Holy Spirit. When you trust Him, He comes inside of you and does a supernatural work. He regenerates your heart and your mind. That's why we call it being born again. You cannot be born again all by yourself. God is saying to you, by the word of God, I know you, I love you, I want you to be saved, I want to offer you eternal life. How can that happen? Only one way. By the work of the Holy Spirit coming inside of you and regenerating you. He said to Nicodemus in John 3, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. I've said this so many times, salvation is an inside job. You want to go to heaven? You got to allow the supernatural act of the Holy Spirit to come inside of you. You're never, listen, some of you think if I just get good enough and I stop doing some of these bad things, and then I can probably make it, write a thing down and make a check and do a thing and make a decision and I'm be good enough to save myself. No, you cannot do that. You can no more save yourself than Mary could have impregnated herself. It is by the word of God, and it is by the work of the Holy Spirit. Can I just focus on something positive instead of negative for a moment? Would you let me do that? We just did this Try the Tithe in July, and we had so many people come up to me and tell me these incredible stories. I would always say to them, you need to write it down because I will forget, and I will even forget who you are. So write it down, and that's a, so the one family wrote this down and gave this to me this week. The Aguilar family, they were giving online. That's how they started giving regularly, which is a good idea, I think, for a lot of us. They started giving regularly, but then we did the Try the Tithe Challenge, and they decided they were going to do it. And so they started to give the first tenth of their income each week to the Lord. And they said after just a couple of weeks, they received a check they were not expecting for several hundred dollars. They were completely, that had never happened to them before. They continued to tithe, and they said, then we received a check in the mail, we could not believe it, for $1,000, totally unexpected. And then they said this, get ready for this, the cherry on top of the Summer Stewardship Sunday, is that they received an all-expenses-paid trip to Italy later this year. Yeah. And I said to them, you haven't invited me yet. I mean, I'm the one up here telling you about the tithe thing, and you're just going around the world without me. I mean, I don't make a lot of sense. I was hesitant to tell this because I think a lot of us think if we do that, that's what's going to happen to us, and I there's absolutely no guarantee that's going to happen, and I'm not saying it is going to happen to you. But I am saying this. If you'll put the Lord first, He will take care of you and He will bless you. I don't know how and I don't know in what ways, but He will bless you. But here's the real point I wanted to tell the story, is they made a spiritual decision. A spiritual decision. Everybody say spiritual. They made a spiritual decision. It's not a financial decision to tithe. They made a spiritual decision, and it was not based on my eloquent words, my uncanny ability to motivate people, my glorious creativity. That's not what happened. They made a decision based on the Word of God, and they were led by the Holy Spirit to make a spiritual decision to try to test God in this one particular area. And the reality is, the outcome, they were blessed beyond their wildest imagination. And I'm here to tell you, folks, I can't promise you checks in the mail. I can't promise you free trips to the Bahamas. But what I can promise you is if you will trust God by listening and hearing what He has to say and by allowing His Spirit to move in your life, He's going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. So let me recap. You're not going to heaven without the Word of God. You say, I never saw a Bible ever. Well, somebody had to teach you, explain it, go through it, step by step, bullet point it. You cannot come to Christ without the Word of God, and you cannot come to Christ without the work of the Holy Spirit. And here's the big one. Don't miss this one. I know we're at the end, but you can't miss this one. You can't get to heaven without your own will. You cannot have salvation without the will of your own person. You have to make that decision. Mary made that decision. She said, let it be done to me. She made a choice according to your word. God wasn't forcing, and this is kind of a deep theological thing a lot of people get into in different parts of the Bible. Was God forcing Mary to be a part of this plan when she didn't really want to be? No, God wasn't. God is a gentleman. She had to make a choice. Was she going to honor God's plan, or was God going to have to do something else? Listen to me, God's not going to save you without your will involved, without you making a personal decision. Mary had to do the same. Let it be done according to your word. Friend, God's not going to force you into anything. He's given you this thing called free will. You get to choose. It's called some people struggle with this. There's the thing called the sovereignty of God, where he's large and in charge. He's in control of everything. I believe that because it's taught in the Bible. But there's also this thing taught in the Bible called free will, free choice. They're both in there. I don't have enough time to try to explain it all, make sense of all of it. I'm not even sure I understand even half of it. But I know this. He wasn't forcing Mary to say yes. And he doesn't force you to say yes to him. You got to believe in his word. You've got to surrender to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got to come in and do something inside of you. And you have to bring in your own personal will and say, let it be. Let it be done to me as you have said, according to your word. Remember the old show when I was a kid, Saturday nights, Peter Graves, Mission Impossible. Oh, man, I love that thing. Every episode, there would be a little tape recorder, and that was amazing. And the tech, it was very not high tech back then. And this little tape recorder, there'd be a voice on there, and it would say, your mission, should you choose to accept it? And I'm thinking, they got to accept it. We got 55 minutes left in the program. That's what God's doing to you today. Here is your mission, should you choose to accept it. It's up to you. He's given you a free choice. I want to drop a couple of spiritual truths on you before we get out of here. Number one, God limits his power. He limits his omnipotence in the area of free will. He created everything. He created everything by his word. He spoke. By his word, he created the world. By his word, he created this. By his word, he said, let there be light. Light. Let it be. There was light. Earth. Let it be. Earth. He even said to man and woman, let them be. And they were created. And he gave them, even back then, he gave Adam and Eve. He limited, it's the only area he limits his power is in the area of free will. They could make any choice they wanted, and they ended up making the wrong choice. That's the sad truth. They'd still be enjoying paradise, Adam and Eve, if they hadn't made the wrong choice. As strange as that may seem, God gives them and he gives you the capacity to be a little bit independent from his power when it comes to your free will. Letter B, I want you to get this. For God to accomplish his plan for us, we must surrender to his will. That's exactly what Mary did. When she heard God's proposal, she just said, let it be. She was surrendering to God's will. Some would remove her freedom of choice and say, God ordained this to be. She had to do it. No, God doesn't make robots. God creates people, and he empowers them with the ability to make a choice. You read his word and you will find people that made really, really bad choices and they suffer really, really bad consequences. And you see people that make really, really good choices and they get the blessing from it. Jesus had a choice. Even though he was God in the flesh, he was suffering there in the garden and God wanted him to drink from that cup of unimaginable suffering. And three times he said, oh, Father, if it's possible, if it's any way possible, let this cup pass from me. Three times he said that. And three times he followed that up with, okay, it's not what I want. It's what you want. Jesus was in essence saying there as he was facing the cross, Father, let it be. Let it be. According to your word, what you want, Lord, is what I want. When I face the horror and the bloody, bloody sacrifice I'm about to go through, listen, it's not my heart's desire, but my heart's desire is to do what you want and to surrender totally and completely to you. John Lennon died at age 40. Shot in New York City. George Harrison died at age 58. Cancer. There's two left. Paul and Ringo. And though they were all baptized as babies, I don't think any of them have ever really found the answer. Even though they wrote and sang, there will be an answer, let it be, let it be. I hope that maybe you could even maybe pray for Paul and Ringo that before they cross over, that they would somehow submit and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, there's only one person who ever came to save. There's only one person who ever came to heal the brokenhearted, which is a line from that song. He is the one. He is the answer. And the Bible says he's not willing that anyone should perish. God doesn't want Paul to perish. God doesn't want Ringo to perish without knowing him, without being in a right relationship. But he's not going to force them, because they have free will and free choice. 1829, the Supreme Court dealt with a rather unusual case. There was a guy by the name of George Wilson, and we have a wonderful man in our church named George Wilson. And George Wilson was part of a criminal activity. A robbery and a murder took place. And he was sentenced to die in that day by hanging. Well, after the case had been settled, they found out, the president found out, that really George, he was part of the robbery, yes, and he was part of all of the crime, but he actually had nothing to do with the murder. So Andrew Jackson in 1829 said, I'm giving George Wilson a complete get out of jail card, absolutely free. I'm going to give him a pardon. And George Wilson said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not taking it. And the president said, Andrew Jackson said, George, you don't have a choice. You're free. And George Wilson said, no, I do have a choice. I don't want to be free. And so it went to the court, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court made a landmark decision in 1830 that said, Justice John Marshall wrote, a pardon is a paper, a value of which depends upon the acceptance of the people implicated. It's hardly to be supposed that one under sentence of death would refuse to accept a pardon, but if it is refused, then it is not a pardon. And George Wilson was hanged. Friend, I want to tell you something. Today, right now, right in this moment, yes, we've been entertained and we've had a good time. But in this moment, our Heavenly Father is extending to you the free gift of salvation, eternity with Him forever and ever, forgiveness, peace, joy, a full pardon from all of your sins. And all He wants you to say is, Lord, as you have said, according to thy word and by the work of your Spirit, I choose you. Let it be. Lord, if this is what you want, this is what I want. His word, His Spirit, and your will. Who will choose Jesus today? Well, there's time. What an opportunity. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. If you have any decision you want to make this morning, just step down to the front. We'll stand and sing together. Let's stand. Come on.